So let's be faithful to lift them and ask God to help. Turn with me in your Bibles today to the Psalms. I'll start out there, but I'm not really preaching from there. Psalm 53. And then we're going to look at Psalm 10. Psalm 10, Psalm 53. We're looking at the person of God and our faith in Him. The person of God and our faith in Him. We looked at faith, and last week we looked from Hebrews chapter 11. It reminds us that we must, to approach God, have faith to believe that God is, and that He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. So we are filled here with a room of people who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, who have faith in God, who have faith in the Word of God, and yet we can learn more about how to apply our faith in God and do what is pleasing and acceptable in His sight. We looked 2 weeks at the doctrine of discipleship, and last week we focused on to be a faithful one as a disciple or as a Christian, that we must live by faith. We must first be saved by grace through faith, then we must live by faith, because we don't always see how to live day by day. We walk by faith and not by sight. We don't have the ability to foresee the future with foreknowledge as God does. And God has given us in His Word the way to live that we can be equipped for what we face in life day by day. We're to live by faith and be obedient children of God. We saw examples of that in Hebrews chapter 11 last week of Abel offered. His faith was active. It was doing something. He offered the proper sacrifice. Enoch walked with God and pleased God and was taken to heaven much earlier in life than other men who lived in his time period. He went at 365 years old, while others lived to be 900 years old during that time frame when he lived. Noah walked with God. He first worshiped God, and he walked with God, and then he worked for God in the building of the ark, and then he became the witness for God of God's deliverance for those who believe him by faith. Abraham walked by faith. He left his homeland. He didn't have a map and a compass and know exactly where he was going. He was just taking day by day. And when he set up camp, he'd make an altar to God and worship God and followed. And God said, I'm going to give you all this land. And I'm sure Abraham probably first thought, it means real soon God's going to set up boundaries here and I'm going to own all this. That wasn't what God meant when he said, I'm going to give you all this land. It was 430 years later that Joshua led the children of Israel into the land of promise that God had given to Abraham. And yet they never took possession of all of it. They still have just a tiny little part of what God designated to give to the Jewish nation of people. But in the kingdom, they will have all the land that God promised to give unto them. We saw that faith works. It is an action verb. It does something. And so we saw how it was applied. The Bible declares that God and His works and His will are here for us, and we're to learn of Him and live for Him, and there's great reward if we do that, both now in His provision and protection, and in the future we have eternal life that we will enjoy with a new body and a new home where we'll live with God forever and forever. But many people do not believe these things. Many people reject the Bible. Many people reject God. Psalm 53 and verse 1 says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Corrupt are they and have done abominable iniquity. There is none that doeth good. And the New Testament quotes that, no, not one. Look back at Psalm 10 and verse 4 with me. I want to read through verse 6. Psalm 10 and verse 4 through 6. Give you a little description of what this fool is saying when he says no God. Psalm 10:4 says, "The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in his thoughts. His ways are always grievous. Thy judgments are far above and out of his sight. As for all his enemies, he puffeth at them. He has said in his heart, I shall not be moved, for I shall never be in adversity." Well, a man who believes that in his pride is what the Bible describes as a fool. He does not recognize his dependence upon God. And the word fool is a Hebrew word that is translated, it is Nabal. You might remember that was the man's name who David had an issue with, who rejected David and did not bless him when he had a need. And it means not one who as a fool is mentally incompetent to believe there's God. It is one whose life is so wicked he chooses not to know God. He chooses not to believe, not to receive, not to be saved. And sadly, that society of people is growing. And today there are less people saved than there were in years of the past, because more people in population, and yet many are rejecting the Lord. Now we know that their destiny is to spend an eternity in the lake of fire if they do not turn and receive Christ as their Savior. But God is still giving them opportunity today to repent, have a change of mind about their thoughts and how they've been living and what they have decided, and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be delivered from that awful future you face without knowing the Lord as your Savior. Now the Bible makes it clear in Psalm 19 and verse 1, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night uttereth knowledge." There's nowhere in the world that the sun is not seen and the moon is not seen. And those things are a testament that God made them and that God exists. And Psalm 19, and beginning with verse 20, let me read verse 18 through 20. "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them." There is a God consciousness in man. Men have guilt when they do wrong until they sear their conscience to do wrong without feeling guilty about it. Verse 20 says, "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." The Bible says man is without excuse. Sin is a choice. And men choose to sin. They choose not to believe in God and not to seek God because their faith is not in the Lord. The Bible is very clear that we must have faith. One person defined God as the supreme personal spirit, perfect in all his attributes, who is the source and support and the end of the universe, who guides it according to the wise, righteous, loving purpose revealed in Jesus Christ. He dwells in all places by his Spirit. He is seeking to transform man into a believer and bestow upon him all the blessings of the future and rewards that God has promised. God loves us. Amen. And he's made a way that we can be saved and escape the judgment that is coming in the future. In 2 Corinthians 5:19, I got that marked, so I'll turn over there quickly and read it. 2 Corinthians 5:19, we're going to come back here at the end of the message if I get that far today. Verse 19 says, "To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. God reconciles men unto himself by his grace through our receiving by faith. And if we do that, he has removed all our iniquities and all our transgressions and all our trespasses. He has washed them away, and he has declared us holy and righteous in his sight. You see, psalmist knew way back in Psalm 100 and verse 3, "Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves." People think they're self-made today. It's my life. I can choose what I want. I have the freedom and liberties to make decisions. You sure do, but you don't have the freedom and liberty not to be held accountable for the decisions that you make. Verse 5 of that Psalm 100 says, "For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth through all generations." God reveals in his word his attributes, his makeup. And he does that through the names that he reveals himself as. It starts in Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. God is a translation of the word Elohim. It is a combination of El and Allah. And it means the one who keeps his covenants and has the power to do that. In verse 1, he's revealing himself as the creator God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He reveals himself by many compound names with El. El meaning God. El Shaddai, the Almighty. El Elyon, the Most High God. El Olam, the Everlasting God. Another name he uses often in the Bible is the name Adonai from the Hebrew. It's translated Lord, but it's translated Lord with only the L as capital. L-O-R-D, the L is capital, that's Adonai, Lord. He's our master. He's over us. He's the Lord. He loves us. But when it is translated from Jehovah, the name Jehovah, that he gave to Moses and Israel, when he revealed to Moses, he said, "I am that I am. The great I am has sent Moses to tell his people." And that name is Yahweh or Jehovah. There are many compounds that go along with that. And when that is translated Lord, it's all capital letters, distinguishing it from Adonai, translated Lord with only the L as capital. These many compound names with Jehovah are telling us that Jehovah provides, Jehovah heals, Jehovah protects, Jehovah shepherds over us. I thank God every day when I eat my meals for his provision and his protection and his love and mercy to provide salvation for us. And I think often about the fact that God knows us and loves us anyway. God sees everything we do, knows every thought we think. And yet he loves us and has provided his Son for us that we might be saved. Romans 5:8 says, "But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Israel was taught in Deuteronomy 6, 4, and 5, what is called the Shema, and they quote that regularly, especially in their celebration times. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind," or strength, as it's translated in one passage. And we are to love the Lord in the same way. Jesus quoted that in Matthew 22, verse 37 through 40, when he was asked, "Which is the greatest of the commandments?" And Jesus quoted Deuteronomy 6, 4, and 5. He said, "We're to love the Lord our God with all our heart and soul and strength, and then we're to love our neighbor as ourself." And he said, "All of the law and the prophets hinge on these two commands, loving God and loving our neighbor as ourself." The God we serve and believe in by faith has given us all we need to live for him by faith. Romans 10:17 says, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So the Word of God, as we read it, generates faith. You hear it preached. You hear it taught in Sunday school. You read it for yourself in your devotional time. And it stimulates faith within you because you have heard the Word of God. God's Word has that power. You see, faith is no better than the object that you place your faith in. Place faith in man, you get what man can do. If you place faith in God, you get what God can do. And God can do what man cannot do. God is self-existent. He was not born and he will not die. He has always been. You say, how do you explain that? By faith. I believe it because God said it. And all his word has been proven true. Nowhere has God been a liar. And God cannot lie. As a matter of fact, Titus chapter 1, verse number 2, Paul wrote to Titus and said, in hope of eternal life, whom God that cannot lie promised before the world began. God is also immutable. That's a theological term, but it's a very good one. It's something you should know. From Malachi 3:6, if you read that passage of Scripture, you'll find out what it means. It means God does not change. God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. God's Word does not change. They keep retranslating it. They think computers are going to give them the ability to make a better translation of the Bible. And so they keep making translations for people. I think more than anything else, it's for the folks that print it to be able to sell and make money. But God's Word is preserved for us, and it doesn't change. God is omnipresent. That means he's at all places, at all times, with all people. But you remember when Jesus went to certain places, said he could not do many mighty miracles there. You remember what it said in the Bible about why? Because of unbelief. Because they did not have faith. So God is everywhere, but he's not helping many people in their life because they don't believe on him. They don't have faith in him. They have not expressed their faith in their belief. God is omnipresent. God is eternal. He is everlasting, and he gives to us eternal life. The moment you believe on Jesus Christ as your Savior, like a stamp paid in full, my friend, Jesus has paid the price for you, and you have received eternal life the moment you got saved. It's not a matter of waiting until the judgment day to see if you're going to get it or not. You have it right now if you're genuinely saved. Eternal life. We're still in the human body. One day we're going to shed this. I picture it. You know, people like to make beautiful pictures, like a butterfly coming out of the cocoon. You're going to be transformed one day to go and be with the Lord and get a body like his body. I think it's more like a snake shedding his skin for most of us, you know. One day we're going to change. We're going to leave this old sinful body behind, and we're going to have the spirit body to go and be with the Lord and get a new body to live with him with a body like his body. Remember, Jesus in his glorified body sat on the seashore and ate fish with his disciples. He even prepared the meal for them. Our Lord, the same one, bowed on his knee and took their nasty feet and washed them and dried them with a towel. And he said to them, as I have done, you are to do to each other. To serve one another, to help one another. We don't live in an age where we need to do foot washing today. We don't walk on bare feet and get filthy dirty with our feet and need to be washed to come into the building and that sort of thing. But the attitude of service is the same, that we humble ourselves to serve one another and meet one another's needs. God is omniscient, meaning he knows all things. Inside his omniscience is foreknowledge. He knows what's going to happen before it takes place. God's written prophetic things in his word that will happen in the future. And you can believe they will happen just as everything that had been predicted would happen before it did has all taken place, except for those future prophetic things that are yet to happen. God is perfect in wisdom and correct in judgment. He has the proper use of knowledge. We know things sometimes and don't properly use our knowledge. We don't have the wisdom that we need unless we ask of God and use His wisdom to apply knowledge for its best and most intended purpose. God is just. He has perfect justice. He established righteous laws, and His judgment is according to truth. Psalm 19:9, His judgments are true and righteous altogether. Goodness is seen in our God in His benevolence toward man. God's benevolence toward man moved Him to pity us, and His mercy is based upon His pity of us to withhold the judgment that we rightly deserve. God is merciful. 2 Corinthians 1:3 says He's the God of all comfort and mercy, and that He comforts us so that we can in turn comfort others with the same comfort wherewith we ourselves have been comforted. I saw the other Wednesday night something I was thinking, you know, I would not do as a man to a woman, go up and hug her and you know, let her know we're praying for her. But when Miss Sue came in, and she was obviously grieved and moved by the death of her brother, Betty Ann went up and just laid a gigantic hug on her, you know. And Betty Ann's a good bit taller than Sue, so she could really wrap her up, you know. And they stood there, and I mean, you could just see Sue was crying and was emotionally moved at the love she showed to her and the comfort that it gave her. I suspect, without knowing, that Betty Ann's had immediate family members die, and understands that grief, understands that loss, understands that emotion. And she's been through something that she can in turn comfort Sue when she's going through that difficult situation as well. And that's today, by the way, the graveside service. So remember them in prayer today. God's word is truth. In Psalm 12:6, the Bible says God's word is true. It is like silver tried in a furnace of earth 7 times. As they melt the ore in the furnace of earth and the impurities float up to the top of the silver, they use a skimming tool to take off the impurities. It's called dross. And they wipe away the dross. 7 times it's heated up to boil, and they take away the impurities. And so when they pour that out, it is 100% pure silver when they pour it out. And God's word is compared to that, that His word is that pure. I said He cannot lie, and I believe that's absolute truth. God has revealed His will in the word of God. He is sovereign, meaning He has authority over all. He has created the world. What He commands or asks of us, it is for our good and for our best if we obey. You ever disobeyed God and then wished you hadn't? You ever disobeyed your parents and then got caught and wished you hadn't disobeyed them? I'm glad I never kept records of all the times that happened unto me until I was 24 years old. If I'd have got caught for everything wrong I've done, I'd still be in the penitentiary right now. That's why when people ask me all the time, how you feeling? I'm better than I deserve. I promise you, I know my past. I'm better than I deserve, my friends. God has given me far more than I deserve, and He has blessed me above what I deserve. And He has preserved me and kept me alive. And He has a reason for that, and I want to serve Him with my life to try to do the best I can do because He has been so merciful unto me. God is our Father. If we walk with God and read His word and grow as a Christian, we will become more and more like our Father. I don't like it a lot of times that I'm like my human father. Cliff Parrish was his name. His full name was James Clifford Parrish. That's my name too. But you know what I found out just recently? When I had to get my birth certificate to get the new driver's license that can be used as a federal ID, get the gold star on, I had to take my birth certificate. I read my birth certificate. Nowhere on my birth certificate does it say junior. I've been going by that all my life. I was told I'm a junior, you know, because my dad's got the same name. But my birth certificate just says James Clifford Parrish. It doesn't say junior. I have the same name he had. And my dad was wicked until he was, he died at 74, and he got saved at about 69 or something like that. Thank God. And his ways did change. Now, he was still an uneducated man, and he still slipped some until real late in life when God took his ability to get out and get into trouble away from him, and then he really cleaned up his act, you know. God let him go through a liver issue where all his skin peeled off from the penicillin they gave him and terrible pain, and he saw the result of his sin and the damage that it caused. God was merciful. But I think about people, my relatives say, "Jimmy, you look like Cliff." Don't tell me that, you know. My dad had a big old Cherokee Indian type nose, you know. And I don't like to think myself that I look like him. The women at the nursing home said, "You look just like your mama." Well, how can I look just like my dad and look just like my mama, you know? I got blue eyes. That's why they think I look like my mother. But I want to be like my Heavenly Father. He's perfect. He never makes a mistake. He is so merciful and good to all who believe in him. I want to be like him. I want to grow to become more like him. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2 through 8, the Bible says we are partakers of the divine nature. So we should add many things to our faith, virtue and knowledge and all of these lists in 2 Peter 1 verse 2 through 8. God knows our needs before we even ask. He will bless us if we serve him. He'll provide for us if we put him first. He'll supply the need of food and clothing and shelter. He knows all. He sees all. He knows every action. So he sees when we put forth faith to believe in him. He's omnipotent. He's all-powerful. There's no limit to God's power except what he has self-imposed upon himself. The only reason God doesn't use his power to destroy the wicked today is he's already got a day when he's going to do that, and he is in his sovereign will, he is patient with sinful man that they might be saved. The Bible describes great moral attributes of God, that God is holy, that God is righteous, God is light, God is love. Because he's love, he has had divine compassion upon us. We who are people of faith have experienced this. In 2 Corinthians 5, I did make it there. 2 Corinthians 5, we read verse 19 earlier. I want to read verse 18 through 20. "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God." The English have a term for ministers, it's called a vicar. A vicar is one who stands for Christ, stands in Christ's place to the people. And that's what every one of us are if we are seeking to reconcile other people to God, to help them come to be saved. Because God has reconciled us. Now we have the word of reconciliation, which is God's word. We have the ministry of reconciliation, which is service for that, given to us. and we are His ambassadors. We represent God to the world. And it's important that we stand up and put it into practice. As ambassadors, we represent the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We're speaking for Christ in His stead. And the word we preach and share is the simple gospel message that's been given unto us. How Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures and was buried and rose again from the dead according to the Scriptures. And He is alive forevermore. We're made the righteousness of God in Him because Christ put Himself upon the cross and died vicariously, a substitutionary death for us all. David wrote in Psalm 51, seeking God's mercy and forgiveness after his sin with Bathsheba. He wrote in that psalm about God's mercy and loving kindness, and he said in chapter 51 and verse 12 through 15 of that great psalm, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise." God has done for us what is needed for us to be able to sing forth His praise and to live for Him and serve Him and help others come to believe upon Him, for sinners to be converted, because we are His ambassadors carrying the message to the world around us. Let us go to the nations and take the message of deliverance and salvation to those that do not know, to those who have not believed. Don't let people or circumstance stop you from speaking up for God and from serving God. Learn all you need to know to have a place of service for God. Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Those who've served in the military know what the training is like. It's hard. It's difficult. It's long. I went through 9 weeks at Parris Island, lost 48 pounds in June, July, and August. I went to Camp Lejeune for 8 more weeks and drank that water that was poisoned from water being leaked into by fuel tanks. But I haven't had cancer or leukemia, so I don't get any money for it, you know. And then I went to California. I went through raider training, where you went over the side of a ship at night and paddle in a rubber boat with a compass and find the shore, and went through 30 days, 24 hours a day, jungle warfare training, to live in a mock village of Vietnam to try to get the idea of exactly what it was going to be like. And we went training all day and into the night, and get up before long before daylight and go all day. It was hard. But when I got to Vietnam, I figured out that was harder. And that was what all that training was about. The hardship of war and the military. Paul wrote to Timothy, said, "Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." So let us endure anything that seems difficult, that we might serve the Lord and please God and help others come to know Christ as Savior. Persuade men. Be challenged to articulate the message of the gospel to others. Find inventive ways to get to your friend the message that you'd like to share with them. You can start by giving them a tract or giving them a booklet or possibly even buying a book. If it's one of your children or something, you know, you'd spend any cost to turn their life around if they needed. We've got to have integrity. Stand up and tell others. Doesn't mean you got to be perfect. David was asking for forgiveness and restoration so then sinners could be converted and he could praise God in a greater way. All God's done for us, let us by faith praise Him and serve Him and live for Him day by day. and help others come to know him. Father, thank you for the faithfulness of your people in being here today. Thank you for those watching by live streaming. We greet them and pray the message has been a help to them. Pray they'd share it with others. There's a long period of time that these things are libraried there in the two ways, in Facebook and in YouTube, and people can go and pull up today's message or last week's message or probably a message a month ago. And so help us to share the knowledge of that with others. It's a good way for them to get the message and not even have to be here in the service. So, Lord, what you do through us, we can only bow our head and thank you and praise you. And we offer you our appreciation and our worship in Jesus' name. Amen.